The sun warmed through the window, but I was anxious about making this journey alone and had hardly slept, as I didn't know the way and was relying on the map and the scrawled address stapled to it. But now that I was on my way, I felt unexpectedly buoyant, proud of myself, and decided to stop for a coffee and cigarette. Cigarettes were a comfort. Of course, it shouldn't have been like this. Not like this at all. If things had gone as they should have. Like in the normal life you expect, and kind of take for granted, so stupidly, of course. Peter and the kids would have been here. Anyway, I wouldn't have been going alone to a monastery. We'd have been going on holiday somewhere, or having a day out. But that was not how things had worked out. And I was ill, and the doctor had organised the whole thing. A retreat, they called it, and I didn't argue. Because I didn't care that much, one way or the other. It took less energy just to go along with things. My hands were sweaty with gripping the steering wheel too hard, and I needed a loo, so when I saw a roadside cafe, a kind of truck driver's place, I pulled into the parking lot at the side. It was a prefabricated hut, really, but with a blue and white awning over a couple of white plastic tables with chairs. No one outside, but inside a group of truckers, I guessed, all familiar with the place and each other. They stared at me and I gave a nod, confident that I looked okay in the green jeans and white blouse. Vanity, in spite of everything. You could laugh. Two girls stood behind a counter with glass cases protecting various cakes and scones from the odd fly and wasp that hung around. I asked about the ladies, and the tallest of the two pointed.
"Outside and round the back. Round the back there," she said.
She was most likely doing a Saturday job, too young to have left school. When I returned, I saw the coffee on a table near the men. They looked up vacantly as I picked it up and took it outside. The tabletop was cracked and pretty grimy, and I did wonder whether anyone ever bothered to sit outside with the passing traffic and petrol fumes. But I could smoke and think and be alone, which is what I wanted just then. I wasn't alone for long, though, as a grey 4x4 pulled up and the man and woman inside studied the cafe, the woman turning to say something to the three children in the back. In the end, they all got out and the children ran inside, calling for ice cream and Coke. I watched as the woman opened her bag and handed the man money. I smiled as they passed and raised my eyebrows as if to say, "I know, been there, got the T-shirt." They went to the other table, the man asking if he could take the spare chairs from mine. The children shrieked and fidgeted, slipping off their chairs to chase around the table. The woman leaned towards the man and he grabbed the youngest child and swung him onto his knee. The woman called,
"Come here, Paul, and drink your Coke."
And the boy dragged his sister to the table. I could hear the woman's quiet tones as she bent towards her husband and he took out a handkerchief and wiped the face of the wriggling child. I couldn't help staring at them, couldn't take my eyes off them, but they were too wrapped up in themselves to notice me. I thought, what the hell am I doing here? Who is this sitting here quiet and alone? Moving on through time. The body moving, the self somewhere else. I finished the coffee and went in to pay. Simple. Why bother to mention paying? Except, you see, I couldn't find the right money in my purse. I knew it was there, that I had enough, but I couldn't make out £1.25. I couldn't work it out. So, panicking, I took out a £10 note instead. Then the trembling started, and the vague feeling of foreboding overcame me again, so I sat in the car and lit another cigarette and took deep breaths and all that stuff, and wanted to go home, to my childhood home. I wanted my father. Wanted my father. Ever heard of a grown woman saying that? Anyway, I just sat there until the panic passed well enough for me to get on my way. I missed the turning to the monastery, going up and down the winding lane several times. I had expected to see a large name announcing the place, but in fact there was simply a small metal sign swinging from a post, almost hidden by the branches of an overhanging tree. In faded white paint it read, "Burnham Abbey," with an arrow underneath pointing towards a narrow driveway. I turned the car into the unmade track, dark in the shadows of heavy...